acceptable, Lord, in your sight. You are my strength. You are my redeemer. Search me, God. Hide me behind the cross. Let your word go forth with power and precision. Chapter, the 26th chapter. Read it in its entirety when you go home today. Amen.
Amen.
Because you will find in this passage of scripture an account that is, it's really a conversation that takes place between Paul and the king.
Oh, yes.
Paul had been arrested. Amen. And he was in a position where he could have said, "Why me?" But instead, he took the opportunity to use that as a preaching moment. We said this morning in Sunday school that if we had a fervor or a passion for winning souls and building the kingdom like we do, whatever our favorite passion is, can you imagine how big the church would be? Whatever your passion is, whether it be music, whether it be food, whether it be art, if your fervor for that thing was as strong as it was for building the kingdom, churches would be expanding and not closing down.
Yes.
Paul used this opportunity as a preaching and witnessing moment. He says, "And then the king said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me.'" Family, in every field of life, there are those who almost won.
Yeah.
They almost won the race. They almost won the World Series. They almost won the presidency. They almost won the election. Even children are not exempt from the almost experience. Amen. When we were coming up in school, we almost won the spelling bee. We almost won the baseball game. We almost passed the test. And the almost in our life can be earth-shattering and heart-crushing experiences, especially when they end in us quitting. You don't win, so you quit trying. You don't succeed, so you give up. You don't come in first, so you withdraw from future competitions and races. The almost experience can generate a sad chain of events that leave us underdeveloped and underachieved. When I was growing up, you didn't get a certificate for almost doing anything. Come on, somebody. Now we don't want to offend folks, so we give participation awards, and we give fifth and sixth and seventh place awards. When I was coming up, it was first, second, or third. And let me tell you, second wasn't a winning spot, now was it? And neither was third. If you came in second or third, you almost won.
Woo! Yeah!
Today we want to look at the worst of the almost experiences. Not just for the king, but for us. Paul had been preaching in Jerusalem when he was arrested. The mob of onlookers accused him of teaching the Jews to forsake the teaching of Moses. And when the authorities realized that Paul was a Roman citizen, they decided that he should be given a fair trial before the king. Are you with me? Paul was taken to the king's court in Caesarea, where he was questioned by King Agrippa. And here we find a moving speech that sets the stage for the king's almost experience. Paul begins telling the king about his background in the Jewish faith. He had a precise and strict and absolute education that taught him to oppose Jesus. Now we're talking about Paul. He told the king about the many Christians that he had persecuted and even put to death. Countless others he had sent to prison. But then Paul asked the king about the momentous day on the road to Damascus. He asks him, did you hear about the encounter that I had with a man named Jesus, where he was suddenly struck by his horse from a blinding light from heaven itself? Now we said on this day earlier that when God touches something, he changes it. It doesn't take him a minute. It doesn't take him a day. It doesn't take him a week. When he touches you, he changes you instantly. If you know folks who are just like they always been, they haven't been touched. I don't care what robe they put on. I don't care what badge they wear. I don't care how well they speak in tongues. If they are just like they were before they said they met the Lord, they have not been touched. If you are the same as you were when you first met Jesus, you need to go back where you said you found him and find him again. He heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, his name was Saul at that point, why are you persecuting me? And he replied, who are you, Lord? And Jesus replied, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But now I want you to stand up, because I'm sending you to the Jews and the Gentiles to open up their eyes so that they may turn from the power of Satan unto the power of God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Paul's moving witness of the events that led up to his conversion and ultimate apostleship caused the king to give his now infamous response, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Talking about the tragedy of being an almost Christian, we can't help but wonder what the life of the king would have become if he altogether had decided to become a Christian and not an almost Christian. He would have become the kind of Christian that the Lord was pleased with, but he never reached the mark. He almost followed Jesus on the straight and narrow, but instead he took the broad road that led to his destruction. Do you know any almost people? Come on and tell the truth. Do you know some almost people in your life?
Yes.
I think of some folks, and I think of one in particular that is an almost Christian. I think daily of how if he would just fall in line and seek the Lord, all of the things that he's chasing in the street would be added. All the things, the money, the cars, the fancy house. Come on, somebody. The way to avoid pitfalls of the almost experience of life is to give your life over completely to Jesus Christ. You've heard it, so near yet so far away. So near to Christ but yet so far from salvation. There's folks in the church. Come on, I'm going to be real with you today. There are folks in the church, but the church is not in them. They are simply going through the motions, thinking that if I look right and I act right, that somehow I'm going to be all right. But almost doesn't count. So King Agrippa joined the ranks of the almost. And now he was almost a good leader, but he fell headlong into the pit of his own digging. Come on, we can search the Bible and we can find a bunch of almost folks. Judas was almost a good disciple. Amen. But his own ideas about revolution and his love for money caused him to betray his best friend. Balaam was almost a great prophet of the Lord, but the devil struck him with his own trickery. Samson was almost invincible. He was almost unbeatable, but he revealed his secret of strength to a wicked woman and died under her power. Pharaoh's army almost reached the other shore. Come on, act like you know the Bible. But the Red Sea wasn't dishing out mercy on that day. Now, was it? Nebuchadnezzar almost became a believer, but he tripped on his own boasting and then was driven into exile. Pilate almost let Jesus go free. Come on, y'all.
Come on.
But he feared being a Roman scapegoat, so he passed him on to the crowd. Nicodemus almost became a disciple at his class, at his night school class. But he wasn't able to understand the concept of you must be born again. See, Paul kept pouring on his testimony, seasoned with the power of the Holy Ghost, until the king was cringing and twisting and couldn't stay in his seat. And he cried out, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And I hear the saints of old saying that almost doesn't count. I remember I was running track and I came in second place and I came home and I was so proud and I said to my grandfather, "I came in second place, I almost won." And he said, "Almost doesn't count." Now some of you may think that's tough love. But if we continue to coddle our people and give them accolades for just simply doing what is required, you get gold stars for going above and beyond what is required of you. Can I share that with somebody? I don't want a seventh place medal for anything. I don't even want a first place medal. I want to go above and beyond that which is required of me. So when I stand before the Lord, I can hear him say, "Well done, you've been good and faithful over a few things. And now the prize awaits you." Perhaps you know someone who has come close to accepting Christ, but the influenza of carnality put up road signs and led them on to other desires and pleasures. Perhaps you may know someone who has come close to accepting Christ, but the malaria of gossip has enticed them into a self-serving satisfaction. Perhaps you know someone that has come close to Christ, but the frostbite of hatred won't release them to love. Perhaps you saw someone that has come close, but the plague of depression has engulfed them and driven a wedge between them and the Lord. Perhaps you know someone that has come close to accepting, but tumors of self-righteousness have sugar-coated ego and masked sourness of disposition. Perhaps you know someone that has come close to Christ, but a virus of jealousy has wrapped them up in emotional competition. These infections cause the almost Christian to suffer great pain. Man-made remedies are numerous, but they fail to bring healing and health to the soul. Have you ever watched TV after 10 o'clock at night? If you have arthritis, if you have pancreatitis, if you have any itis, there's a pill for that. But if you listen, it gets kind of comical after a while, if you listen to what they say real quick After they show people running through fields of daisies and having cookouts around the table, then you hear may cause your eyes to bleed, may cause stomach ulcers, may cause thoughts of depression and suicide. Man-made remedies are all over and they're numerous, but none of them can touch and save your soul but Jesus.
Amen.
The plight of the almost Christian is a sad affair.
Yes.
The almost Christian faces horrors and hopelessness. They are paralyzed in fear. They have bitterness of failure. They have the misery of their mistakes, the frugality of their helplessness, and the confusion of uncertainty. They have a grief of disappointment and a daze of delusion. They have a gloom of unhappiness and disgrace. They are jealous. They are backbiting. They will talk about you. Come on, somebody. They have hurt. They have heartache. They have torment and trouble, and hurt people hurt people. Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah.
Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah.
There's some folks I know.
Yeah.
Some of them come here.
Yeah.
I don't speak to them unless they speak to me first, because I don't know which way the wind blew before they walked in the door, because they're almost saved. Amen, Walt.
Amen.
But what do? We pray. What do? We stand firm on the word. Sister Deborah, if you stand firm and you do not sway and you do not waver, folks will come around.
Yeah.
If you tell the story and you preach the word and you live a preached life, the word will do the work.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
See, one of Satan's strategies is to blind a person to the reality of their own condition.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Look how long it takes an alcoholic to admit that they have a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
To everybody else, it's obvious, is it not?
Yes.
To everybody else, it's obvious that you have a drinking problem.
Yes.
It's obvious that you have a problem with drugs. But the person that is blinded in their own reality thinks that everybody else is the problem.
Yes.
They insist that there is no problem, and you've heard it. I can quit whenever I feel like it. Come on, rarely do you hear a person admitting to drug addiction. You don't hear them say, I'm a dope fiend.
Yeah.
Until the blinders have fallen and the scales have come off of their eyes and they have had an encounter with the real soul inside of them. Then you'll hear people say, I am Bill Smith and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Yes.
They admit to have a slight problem. Am I right, Dee?
Yeah.
But somehow they feel that they're still in control.
Yeah.
When the truth is that we are hopelessly addicted.
Damn.
Come on. We are hopelessly addicted to whatever it is that makes our flesh feel good. Am I right? Do we struggle with doing things that we're not supposed to do? Do we struggle with going places that we should not go?
Yeah.
Do we struggle with eating things that we shouldn't eat?
Hello.
Do we struggle with that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Sister Pat raised her hand. She struggled with Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle.
Yeah.
A struggle. Yeah.
I struggle with potato chips.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so,
mm-hmm.
a struggle is a struggle.
Yes.
I'm almost there.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to admit that I'm almost in between some things.
Yeah.
But the worst of all, the almost Christian faces the dread of dying. Dying without a reservation for their soul. The world is not afraid of dying. The almost Christian is afraid of dying because they've been around it long enough to know that somebody just might be right.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The street is not afraid of dying. Prisons are full of brothers and sisters who aren't afraid to do whatever they want to do, how they want to do it, without any regard for everything or anybody. The prison is not full of almost Christians.
Right. Amen.
Dying without a reservation for their soul. Endless death of hell and torment.
Yeah.
And we go from impairment to imprisonment and from tarnish to torture. I won't be before you long, but I just want to put something in your spirit.
Yeah.
Don't be an almost Christian.
Yeah.
Don't almost be persuaded to serve.
Yeah.
Don't almost be persuaded to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't almost be persuaded to usher.
Yeah.
Don't almost be persuaded to clean the house. Don't almost be persuaded to go to Bible study.
Yeah.
Don't be almost in anything, but give God everything. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom, all of that other stuff will be added unto you. Don't be an almost Christian. People are blind to the fact, and I'm going to close because I've got to go. People are blind to the fact that they will one day stand before God and give an account for their sins. See, we live life like we're just going to do what we do. You know, we go to funerals and we get our Sunday best.
Yeah.
Women go out and get new hair and shoes, and men go out and get a suit and all this stuff, and we get ready. Who has the body? Where's the funeral? Who's preaching? Who's playing? Who's singing? And we show up and we shake the walls and we shake the casket and we come out and we say, boy, didn't they send them home? And the pastor stand before you and say, oh, they did a good work, and now they're resting with the Lord. And we forget to tell you all that right now that person is dead and they are waiting for the general resurrection. The truth of the matter is, one day God is going to come down.
Yeah.
He's going to crack the sky, and the Bible says that every head is going to see it, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to say that after that, those that have died in him will rise first. Those of us that are caught behind him, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says we will stand before a triune God, and we will give an account of everything that we did in this body. Everything we said, everything we did, everywhere we went, every person we hurt, everything we ducked, everything we dodged, everything we weaved around. Come on, we have to confess that.
Yeah.
But we also have to give an account for the things that we did not do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine standing before the Lord when he says, why didn't you serve?
Lord, have mercy.
Why didn't you go visit the sick?
Yeah.
Why didn't you pray for my people?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you serve in the church? Can you imagine having the Lord standing in front of you and saying, why were you an almost Christian? There are those of us who somehow feel that our good works will placate the wrath against their sin. The Bible says that our good works or our righteousness is like a filthy rag. My stepdaddy was a good man. He worked in the community. He gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to the community. He would take the shirt off of his back and give it to, so I saw him take his belt off one time and give it to a young man. He would do wonderful and marvelous works in the community. But he never confessed Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when I stood over his casket, I couldn't say anything.
That's right.
Except the Lord gives
and the Lord
takes away, and we're going to bless his name anyhow, because he was an almost Christian. What a tragedy to live our lives in service but not be saved. Are you an almost Christian? Come on and pray with me and we'll close. Are you walking a thin line between gloom and glory? Do you know anybody that's sad all the time in their spirit? Their head is held down. They are always contrite. They are not happy. The Bible says that when you come into fellowship With the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. When you come into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, your husband can get a death sentence from the doctor, and you can still raise your hand, Sister Kathy, in the sanctuary and say, God, I still love you. I still trust you, because when you are in fellowship, you have a communion that surpasses all understanding. When a loved one passes, we can dance around the casket because we know in whom they believe. We have a peace that the world doesn't have. We sorrow, but not like those who don't have any hope. Are y'all going to pray with me on today? See, is your Christian flame, is it a flame or is it a flicker? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust him with your heart, with your mind, and with your soul, and change your life from almost to always.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in me all the time, not just on Sunday, not just when I've got to stand before people, but let the mind of Christ be in me all the time. Everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I say, everything that comes out of my mouth, let it be just like something Jesus would say. And you will find that you will walk in the favor of the Lord. But God doesn't want almost anything. He wants all of you or none of you.
Yeah.
Are you an almost Christian? Come on and pray with me. Christ will change your weakness into strength. Somebody say, Christ will. Christ will change your weakness into strength. Christ will change your pressure into peace. Christ will change your burdens into blessings. Come on and pray with me. Christ will change your mountains into molehills. Christ will change your anxiousness into assurance. Don't almost be persuaded, but be fully committed today. Christ can regenerate your soul, and he can make you whole. He can resolve your doubts and reinforce the testing of your testimony. He can reshape your thinking and reestablish your priorities. He can rearrange your values and reform your attitude. He can continuously replenish your joy. Don't almost be persuaded, because almost doesn't count. Do you know him today? Christ is real. Christ is the answer, and Christ is the way. How do I know? There was a hymn writer that said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever man may say, I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ought to shout right there. He walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives his salvation to impart. You ask me how I know that he lives, because he lives within my soul. Come on, somebody, and shout hallelujah. Do you know him today? Shout like you know God is God. Shout like you know he is able. Shout like you know he is willing to meet you right where you are, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your circumstances. God can and he will bring restoration into your life. But you've got to not be an almost Christian. You've got to say, here I am. Talking about
a new level, a higher level, a new dimension in Him. He will meet you right where you are. Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah!
He said, "I'm almost persuaded," and he signed his death record. You tell me you're almost anything, I'm moving right on to the next person.
Yeah.
I need you to serve. Well, let me think about her. Anybody on fire for the Lord?
Yeah.
We don't have time for half-stepping folks. We don't have time for almost Christians.
Yeah.
Read your Bible, turn on CNN. The Lord is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't have time to be almost anything. Get with Him.
Yeah.
Know Him. Be with Him. He'll be with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It says if you knock, He'll answer it. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. And then if you're still, you will know that He is God. You'll know what He can do. If you know what He can do, you'll study Him more. The more you study Him, the more you love Him. The more you love Him, the more He'll walk with you. The more He walks with you, the more He blesses you. The more He blesses you, the more you can bless others. The more you bless others, the more kingdom building you can do. And when it's all said and done, He'll say, "Well done." Do you know Him today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? The doors of the house are open.